You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 12. Last week we stopped at verse 40, and we'll continue from there this week. So we are going to pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be here to hear your word. And we pray in the name of Jesus that faith will come. As your word said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I pray as we hear your word, O God, we will be rooted and grounded in the faith. We will walk by faith and not by sight. O God, relying completely upon your word. So we thank you again for this session that will be coming forth. And we pray, O God, that the hearts of your people will be blessed. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Sorry. So we continue from Matthew 12:40. The word said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So we see Jesus was rebuking the religious leaders for seeking after a sign. They said, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But Jesus said, they won't get no sign. You are an evil and adulterous generation. You're seeking after a sign. But no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah. So Jesus was telling them that as Jonah was in that fish for 3 days and three nights, so he will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So we see, people of God, his death, his burial and resurrection is a sign that they will get to know and believe that he's the Messiah, the Son of God. So we continue to verse 41 of Matthew 12. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. What was Jesus saying? He said, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. So we are going to refer to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, the New King James Version, so we can remember what took place with Jonah and the Ninevites. The word of God tells us, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, remember, the word of the Lord came to him first, and he disobeyed. He ran away, and the Lord God caused him to be thrown over into the sea and was swallowed by a fish. But he cried out to the Lord in the belly of the fish. The Lord heard him, and the fish vomited out Jonah on dry land. So now in chapter 3, the word tells us, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. So what should have taken him 3 days took him 1 day. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was Jonah's message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Look on what the people of Nineveh did. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his noble saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So we see, people of God, as Jesus spoke here, the people of Nineveh, they repented when the word came to them. The word came to them. Look on this short message, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But they believed and they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And Jesus said, indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus was there with them at that time, but they refused to believe in him. They refused to believe that he is the Son of God. They refused to believe that he is the Messiah. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can the Messiah come out of Galilee? These were their questions, people of God. And they failed to believe in Jesus Christ, still looking for more signs. But Jesus said that's the only sign you're going to get, the sign of Jonah. I'm going to be in the earth for 3 days and three nights like Jonah was. And when we see, people of God, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that was the sign for the Jewish people to know and understand that he is the Messiah King. So Matthew was pointing out to them and showing them all that Jesus had said. And people of God, it's for them to come to that place of putting their trust in Jesus Christ. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. So we have to understand, people of God, that they came looking for more signs after so many signs were given to them by Jesus Christ. All those great miracles that he performed were signs that he was truly the Son of God. He was truly the Messiah that was promised to Israel. But they failed to believe him. So Jesus said, that's the only sign you're going to get, that sign of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so I will be in the heart of the earth. And people of God, we see his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we see, people of God, that many still fail to believe in him. So we see that they did get that sign. They did know that he is the Messiah, but they refused to put their trust in him. Look at verse 42 of Matthew 12. The queen of the south, Jesus continued to speak, the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. So we see Jesus also referred to the queen of Sheba who came to visit Solomon. And she came to hear all the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, Jesus said, greater than Solomon is here. Let us look on that scripture to see when the queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. Let us turn to 1 Kings 10. 1 Kings 10, 1 to 7. People of God, we need to refresh our minds with these scriptures so we can understand exactly what Jesus was saying. 1 Kings 10, 1 to 7. The word of God said, reading from the New King James Version. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard." So people of God, Jesus was speaking. The Queen of Sheba was so overwhelmed with the wisdom of Solomon, with his riches and all that he had. The greatness of Solomon came to her in such a way that the word said her spirit left her. She had no more spirit in her. She was so overwhelmed by the magnificence of this king. But look at what Jesus said. "And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here." Jesus is greater than Solomon, people of God. And the religious leaders refused to listen to his teachings. They refused to put their trust in him as their Messiah King. They refused, people of God. So Jesus was assuring them, even that Queen of Sheba that came up, she will rise up in judgment against all of you. For she came and saw the wisdom of Solomon and understood what it means to be a person of magnificence. But there is none like Jesus. No king like the King of Kings. Solomon was a great king, but there is none like Jesus. There is none wiser than him. He is the wisest of all. He is the greatest of all. He is the King of Kings, people of God. But he came to his own. The religious leaders refused to listen to Jesus. They refused to adhere to his teaching. They refused to put their trust in him as their Messiah King. The people of God, we have to come to understand that we are not supposed to be going looking for signs and wonders, but we are to put our trust in what God says. His word is truth. We have to purpose in our heart to believe God's word and not looking and not running down no signs and wonders, but coming to that place of understanding that we are called to believe God's word. We are called to believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah King, and we must put our trust in him, for he is the only way to the Father. Look at verse 43 of Matthew 12. "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none." So Jesus continues to speak. "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none." So we see an unclean spirit is a disembodied spirit. Demonic spirits are disembodied spirit. They have to seek a body to function in. They can function out there on their own. They are disembodied. But they need a body to function in. So when they are sent out of a man, they go to dry places seeking rest and find none. So Jesus was just telling of what happens to an unclean spirit that is cast out of a man. Look at verse 44 of Matthew 12. "Then he says," the unclean spirit say, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept and put in order. So people of God, Jesus was saying, the unclean spirit is cast out of the man. Then that unclean spirit will go seeking a place of rest. Can't find none. So he says, "I'm going to come back to my house, to where I used to live. I'm going to come back to that man. from which I came out. And when he comes, he find that house empty. That man did not hide the word of God in his heart. That man did not have the Spirit of God in him. The house was empty. People of God, that's a word that we must take note of. The house was empty. The Spirit came back, he finds it empty, swept and put in order. So the house might be clean, but empty, swept and put in order, but empty. People of God, let us look into this word. So we have to be filled up with the Spirit. We have to be filled up with God's word. People of God, we have to come to understand that we are called to be filled up with Jesus Christ. He is the word. If we are not filled up with him, then we are open to demonic forces coming in to influence our lives, people of God, and also to take over and to rule us. This man, the devil, was cast out, but he left that place empty. He was not filled up with the word. He was not filled up with the Spirit. God's word is spirit and life. He was empty, clean but empty. So we have to be filled up with the Spirit of God. We have to be filled up with the word of God so that demonic forces have no place. We don't give the devil no loophole in our lives, people of God. We don't give him no entryway to come in. Because we are filled up. There's no space for him in us. Because we are filled with the Spirit. We are filled with God's word. The psalmist said, I'll hide your word, O God, in my heart. Your words have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. And people of God, we need to have the word of God in us. We need to have the word of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit. When we respond in situation, it will be according to the word of God, not according to any other influence, but according to the word of God. So people of God, we see here what Jesus was saying. Look at what verse 45. Then he goes and take with him. He came back, the Spirit came back, see that the place was empty. And he said, you know what, there's room for more demons. Then he goes and take with him 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. So Jesus was saying, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. Jesus called that generation wicked because they rebelled against God's word and are being possessed by evil spirit because they refuse to accept the word of God and be filled with his Spirit. So Jesus was speaking of that generation then, but now we see also in this generation, those who refuse God's word, those who rebel against God's word are being possessed by evil spirits. They are being influenced and they are acting as the evil spirits lead them. They refuse to accept the word of God and be filled up with his Spirit. So people of God, the Lord is calling us back to the word, calling us to be filled up with his word, to be filled with his Spirit, to walk in truth and holiness, honoring his great name. People of God, let us refer to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. And see what the word of God says. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his error? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Look on verse 14, the last verse said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. People of God, when we are filled up with the word of God, then the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be right, will be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. When we have the word of God in our hearts, people of God, we will be free from the great transgression. We will be free from the rebellion that many are rebelling against the word of God. We will be free from the sin of rebellion. So we have to understand that we have to be filled up with God's word, be filled up with the Spirit, walking in truth and holiness, meditating on God's word. Whatever comes from our mouth will be words that edify, because we are filled up with His Spirit. We are filled up with His word. And what we are thinking of will be words that are pure, that are true, that are lovely, that are good, of good report, that are praiseworthy. People of God, we have to understand that we have to be so filled up with God's word, and don't give any place for the enemy to come in. Don't give any place to the devil. Look at verse 46 of Matthew 12. While he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. While he was still talking to the multitude, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Look at verse 47. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. Verse 48. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? That's Jesus' answer to them. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Look at verse 49 of Matthew 12. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Here are my mother and my brothers, people of God. And when it comes to, when we come to understand what Jesus was saying, those who are dedicated to him, those who are wholeheartedly following him, are of his family. Those that have put their trust in him, those that have dedicated their lives to him, they are the ones who are truly his family. So let us look at Matthew 10, 37 through 39. Matthew 10, 37 through 39. The word of God said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves sons or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So when Jesus pointed to his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, these are the ones who lost their old life, put away their old ways of living, and find their new life in Christ. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So we have become a part of the family of God when we have put our trust in Jesus. We have placed him above family members, above relatives. So when he looked, he said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? But he stretched his hands toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. And people of God, if we don't come to understand that we have to love Jesus more than anyone else, then we are not worthy of him. That's what his word said. We are not worthy of him. Look in Luke 14, 26 through 27. Luke 14, 26 through 27. The word said, if anyone come to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Look at verse 27. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. If anyone come to me and does not hate his father and mother, this does not mean that we literally hate our father and mother, but we love them less. We love Jesus more than anyone else. The word of God tells us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another as we love ourselves. So we have to love Jesus more than father or mother, more than wife, more than children, more than brothers or sisters. And we have to what? Bear our cross, people of God. Are we willing to bear our cross and come after him? Are we willing, people of God, to crucify this old self? Are we willing to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to mortify the deeds of the flesh so that we can truly represent Christ? So we have to come to understand, we have to bear our cross. The cross is a sign of execution. Execution to this old me, this old you, this old lifestyle that we used to live, and walk in the new life that Christ has given us. Look at verse 50, the last verse in Matthew 12. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus said, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother. When we do the will of God, we have become a part of his family. And to do the will of God, people of God, we have to carry out the great commandment of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving one another as he has called us to. We are called to carry out the great commission of going into all the world and preaching and teaching the word of God, bringing souls into the kingdom. That's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we are called to remain faithful to God to the very end. 2 Timothy 4, 7 tells us, as Paul said, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So people of God, we have to come to understand that we are called to remain faithful unto the end. God bless you here as we come to the end of Matthew chapter 12. And we will continue from that last verse, verse 50, next week, God's willing. God bless you all. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you again for your word to us. We thank you that you're calling us, people of God, to lose our life and to find our life in you, Jesus. So we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that we will come to that place, oh God, of honoring your word, oh God, loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and doing your will from day to day. So we bless you, we honor and give you glory as we look to you, O God, and give you thanks. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, and we say amen and amen. God bless you all. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to all. Amen and amen.
In the
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, Thy Word is a Lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy Word is a Lamp.